that, you know, what we are experiencing in the church, in our personal lives, is to be made simple to those that are involved or come in contact with our life. Mm-hmm. And that these things that we're looking at, they are ordinary, but they function really at their best, not just in the assembly of God, but mm-hmm. in the ordinary life of the Christian.
Right.
Philip went from a great revival out to the desert waiting for somebody, mm-hmm. and he gave, you say, well, but Samaria was great. Well, it was, but he seeds Ephesians for a great revival, mm-hmm. where Timothy becomes the pastor on later on, and where Paul meets in Acts 19, chapter 12 disciples, and gets them filled with the Holy Ghost. But the whole doorway of the seed of that church and of the move of God was born in that desert place by Philip, just ordinary life, heard from God, went out, and joined himself to a journey of a man that was seeking God,
right,
but did not know how to find him. So Philip became that connector point. Mm-hmm. And that's how life is so many times, is that, you know, we find people that are looking for God, and they need a connecting point. Mm-hmm. Maybe the missing thing that will bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ.
Right.
And yeah. that's life. That's how we do it. So, but today we're going to look at a couple miracles, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to get into the discerning of spirits. We'll be right back with you.
I have rope here in the top of my mouth.
Really? Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, I curse this growth right now. I command this tumor in the name of Jesus, come out of her right now. Go and loose her. I command that one in the top of her mouth to dry up and to die in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Check that one on the top of your mouth. Tell me what you got.
Still there.
All right. Mm-hmm. Tell me the size of it. Tell me what's happening.
It's about the same size as this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. In the name of Jesus. Come on, folks. Stretch forth your hand here. In the name of Jesus, I curse both these tumors. I command them to dry up, to shrink. In Jesus' name, come out of her and let her go. In the name of Jesus.
It's smaller.
Yeah. This mm-hmm. one is definitely mm-hmm. like half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one's shrinking in my hand. That's pretty cool. Hallelujah. How about mm-hmm. the one on the top of your mouth?
It's smaller.
Lord Jesus, this uh-huh. one's just about gone here.
Okay.
Feel this one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was way back
yeah.
there in your skull.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, geez, owie. I think that might be working.
Yeah.
All the way in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Now, you're going to come back in 3 days, and you're going to give a testimony. This all
yes,
going to be
sir.
Gone. Wow. Man, that is like...
And I need prayer, too. I've got... I want prayer to my cells are receptive to the insulin in my body.
You have sugar?
Yeah, well, that's what they call it in the South.
Okay, all right.
Type 2 diabetes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus... God, I loose a miracle into this pancreas. Let this body begin to process proteins and foods normally. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Oh, God, a miracle into this pancreas. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Feel.
It is.
What?
It's like half the size.
Oh, Lord, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like cool?
Mm-hmm. And the one? That one feels like it's going down too. On top of my mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. A broken tailbone.
For 15 years.
And both hips.
Yes.
So that causes, I'm sure you're in pain?
Yes, I am.
All right, in the name of Jesus, I command this broken tailbone right now. God, I loose creative miracles in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I command all of this pain come out of him right now. I loose these hips. Bring him into alignment, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name. All right, now come on. Tell me what you got. Come on. Tell me what you got. No pain.
I was in pain right now.
You were in pain right now?
Yeah.
Now no pain.
No pain right now. It's God.
No more.
No pain.
No, we aren't going to have no more. All right, praise God. All righty. I want to. All right, there you go. You know what? You can do miracles. You know it. I know it. The devil knows it. Now the world just needs to see it. Now, we're talking about the discerning of spirits. And Kylan, if you can read from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7 through 11, your Bible ought to be falling right in there. Of course, mine's not, because I got a different Bible. I got three or four, so I'm using a different one today, from verse 7 down through 11, Kylan.
All righty. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
So we see that in this passage that there is a discerning of spirits. Now, discerning simply would mean what to you, Kylan?
What discerning is? It is, well, to me it would be understanding, seeing things. Again, by the leading of the Spirit gives that gift to see things that you wouldn't normally have seen, to begin to understand things that you normally wouldn't have understood. You maybe see behind a little bit what's
right.
going on.
So it really becoming an aware.
Yes.
Aware. Mm-hmm. It would be an aware of presence. It would be aware of a situation. It would be aware of how a situation was, how it was working. So we could discern a number of things, but like the Holy Ghost is here today, and he's in your room, in your house, wherever you are today. He is with you because he said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. So we know that he is there. And then we also know that the devil is there. Now, he's not omnipresent,
right.
but we know that there are demons and so forth sent forth. And they're laboring and working against you and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we know you're coming in contact with man. And man is a spiritual being.
Yeah.
And so, though the presence of God is here, I don't feel him. But I know that he's here because of his word.
Right.
But at any given time, if God would see fit or would say, you know what, I want this to happen, then God could set in motion a discerning of spirits. Mm-hmm. And we could, in several ways, our eyes could be open and we could see angels because the angels are encamped around about us. We could see demonic spirits. And we could even see a man's condition of a man's human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We may be able to see right into his human body and say, I see there's a growth there. But those things are done by the discerning of spirits.
Right.
And sometimes the discerning of spirits will fall on a congregation during worship. God opens that gift up and it comes up on a congregation and people begin to get ministered to. The reason that God does that is that people's intention and focus are on God, and now God can unveil or loose that gift. People begins to feel, they may begin to feel his presence, and then God, through that, begins to operate in different things about healing. He begins to loose burdens. He may heal somebody during a worship service, but it's really done where the discerning of spirits, people are called into the presence of God, and God takes that time to minister to people. But it happens in congregations. It can happen in our prayer time when we just start worshiping God.
Yeah.
So the discerning of spirits, God is here all the time. We're involved in a spiritual world.
Right.
We are in between three realms, the natural realm, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness. And only by the discerning of spirits are we able to be aware or knowledgeable, understand, know that, you know what, boy, I got that wasn't right, or I felt this come in. Or that we can even experience goosebumps, whatever you want to call it, the presence of the Lord being there. And that is the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
And the reason that we need that, Kylan, that it's one of the gifts and that is so needful for the church is because we are a connector point of these two kingdoms and we are a part of the third kingdom of humanity, as
right.
it were. And So we have to be able to differentiate or tell the difference, because it takes a different activity or response.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't discern, then what we're going to do is we are going to do great harm.
Yeah.
We're going to open doors to the devil, shut doors to God. We're going to hurt people. We're going to do all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's, you know, you see kind of extremes in the church. You have the one extreme, like we were talking a little bit last time, was, well, the devil behind everything, you know, like you said, the flat tire, the devil. Well, no, we discern. But then the other end is it almost removes completely the spiritual world, that there is an enemy working, and there is a scheme and a plan and the things he's trying to do. Discerning the spirit reminds us and brings us back to, there's things going on that we may not completely understand. We don't see it all, but it's happening.
Yes.
Discerning the spirit helps us there.
Absolutely. So let's go to Acts 8, 18 through 26, and we're going to look at some of the different beings that are discerned, or that we become aware of, so that we can move the way that God needs for us to move. And that's in Acts 8 and verse 18, Kylan. All right.
Get there quick. Acts 8. All right. Verse 18?
Yeah, 18 down through 26.
18 through 26. All right. And when Simon saw, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye for the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south until the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert."
There we see in that story, and we brought in verse 26, but we see the discerning, the perceiving, the understanding, the being made aware of the condition of Simeon's heart.
Yeah.
Now, he's a young Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a zeal for the things of the Spirit, because he's been a sorcerer. He's just been brought into it. So his mindset is still the mindset of a sorcerer. Mm-hmm. I can purchase these levels of spirituality and so forth. So Peter, by the discerning of spirits, perceiving, understanding that this is not God.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not just a misunderstanding, but that this is an entrapment, this type of thinking, this thing that's in his spirit, in his soul, locked in there, is going to become an ensnarement with him. And he says, "I perceive."
Yeah.
Now, this is what I'm telling you. You have this desire, and the devil's going to use this desire, and he's going to pull you right back in to where you've come out of.
Right.
Now, Simeon didn't want that. He said, "Please pray for me."
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't want that. Now, he didn't understand everything that was going on, certainly, but he got an insight to it, that the devil was working through his past to take him back there.
Right.
And so he said, "Peter, please pray." So what if Peter hadn't done that, and he just said, "No, it's just a free gift. You can lay hands on people," and brought him into that without that, what would have happened?
Right. Eventually, it would have came up a different way. You know, it would have showed up, you know, in an adverse way to the kingdom.
Way.
Yeah.
And he would have been in the church.
Yes.
And so then there would have been confusion. So it's important that here he's discerning the spirit of a man.
Yeah.
And we can use that like, you know, discerning that if people have a call. I mean, you're over people, and Kylan, you'll tell me, you know, "Pastor, I think there's something on them."
Mm-hmm.
And that is the discerning of spirits. You're seeing the touch of God or the call of God being matured or brought to the forefront in their life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is a part of the discerning of spirit.
Right.
Call somebody else around and say, boy, that's the biggest knucklehead I ever met. Yeah. Yeah. Some way you say, God got something on him.
God and uses the least and the foolish, right?
So knuckles go from knuckleheadedness to divine. So that has to happen through the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
So we can discern these. And it's important because we're going to discuss in here the different spirits that operate in men and that men have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're used, you know, for evil, but they were given that type of spirit to be used in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so we'll pick some of that up. But in verse 26, you read, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Why couldn't it just have been, "And God said"? Because there is the ability of the believer to know the voice of God. Mm-hmm. Now, that's inherited, you know, by us. Just like a child knows the voice of his mother or his father, it is inherited in us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice." It's a part of our makeup.
Yeah. If they pay attention.
That's right.
And if listen, they pay attention. They'll know his voice, right?
Absolutely. But here it says, "the angel of the Lord." Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10, that in this world there are so many voices, mm-hmm. and no voice is without significance. In other words, every voice has a purpose, and every voice has a threshold. In other words, every voice is a doorway to some type of activity. Mm-hmm. The movement of man into the things of God, or the things of God to be positioned in man, or man to be brought into a snare, mm-hmm. or for the devil to begin to be brought into man's affair. And they open doors for us to, you know, have relationships, or to bring in people in our lives that will help us, or that would destroy us. And it's important that we be able to discern what voices are really voices, that mm-hmm. whether they're coming from man, coming from God, or coming from the devil, which are the true voices that we need to hear from. You know, we need to be able to discern, Kylan, even the motive behind a voice.
Yeah.
Because a flattering tongue can draw mm-hmm. even good men away from godly things.
Yeah. I mean, and so it's also, you know, in the story we read there of Peter and Simon, it's a dual discerning.
Yeah.
Peter discerns something about Simon, but Simon had to discern, ultimately, if what Peter said was right.
This is the voice of God. Yeah. Absolutely.
And he received it correctly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we don't discern those voices, we can resist the servant of God. We can resist what God is bringing to us. So all these voices are here. They're all looking for a doorway into our life, mm-hmm. and we have to be able to discern. We can't judge by sight,
right?
Because too many things are deceptive. Remember that the devil in 2 Corinthians 11:4, 5, or 6 says that he comes as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. Therefore, even his servants or things that are sent forth by him, or maybe even people that are going to be used by him, mm-hmm. have a voice that is going to pave a way for him to have intervention into our life.
Sometimes what seems good is not good at all.
Oh, absolutely. You know? What I tell you, I think the grass may look greener on the other side, but be careful, there's fertilizer under that. Yeah. In other words, a cow has been that way.
Dog's been there too,
And so we see that it discerns that. And let's go to Acts, the 10th chapter, and verse 19. This is where Peter is really struggling with God, telling him to go see the Gentiles, because he just has this mindset that it's just the Jews and no more, and God is directing him. And let's start in verse 29. I'm sorry, 19.
19. And it says, "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Rise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned by God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the words of thee.
Now here we have a discerning of certain things. Peter has a dream. Mm-hmm. Now it's totally contrary to Old Testament doctrine. And Peter...
I mean, it's huge. This is lifestyle. If you're not in this, you're out.
You're out, absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Peter is a man that has been seeking God, mm-hmm. and he has served God. Some people say, well, they're ignorant. Yes, they were ignorant men in that they were not skilled in the use of the law and so forth. Mm-hmm. But Peter says, look, God, no. I am just and righteous because of my eating habits. I've never touched anything unclean
right.
or outside of the law mm-hmm. that I was supposed to eat as a servant or a Jew to you.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter has to discern this dream is of God.
Right.
If not, he's going to fall into some stuff that's
right.
going to separate him from God,
yeah.
condemn his conscience and so forth. But then he has to discern the Spirit of the Lord says to me, go, mm-hmm. nothing doubting. So he has to discern, is this a voice of God telling me, go and don't doubt. Don't hold back, but I'm supposed to go.
Sure.
So he had to discern that. And so there is a two discerning, you know, if what I'm having is of God and did I just hear God?
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to be able to discern God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we can discern seasons. We can discern movements of God, activity of God, and so forth. Because remember, behind every voice is a being,
yeah.
somebody. And so these discerning of spirits enables us, Kylan, to discover these things
yeah.
and notice these things. So it's important that we have these so that we can discern, as it were, all of the voices that are coming our way.
Yeah.
And so we're going to look into that. And out of that, Kylan, we're going to look at all types of spirits that people encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to go to Isaiah 61, and we're going to read from verse 1 through 3. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And go ahead and read that, Kylan.
Yeah, it says there that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and he might be glorified.
That reveals to us that Jesus came to give us a different spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals to us the oppressive nature that sin delivers unto man,
mm-hmm.
that to give them a spirit of praise, rejoicing, instead of and a spirit of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And but it also reveals in verse 1 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. One of the things that we can, when the discerning of spirits is active in our life, we can see what the acts that are happening to determine whether it's God or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, Kylan, just examining, looking at, scrutinizing, proving.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, he that is spiritual proves all things. Sometimes when we look at things, we need to see, are they doing what God in person in Christ would do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we look at a service and or when somebody's out or, well, you know, I ran into this guy the other day, man, he's out on the streets and, you know, I don't know where he went to church, but he didn't come here. I think he was weird. You know, I told him he needed to get in the house of God. But if you look at it and he's out there witnessing, praying for people, encouraging people, pointing them to Christ, then that in itself, the definition of his activity shows us that this is God.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to just discern or take a look at the activity that is in somebody's life.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, look, I come to give you ashes for the joy of mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes. Now, that should tell us that Jesus gave us. Mm-hmm. Now, we should be able to discern. Sometimes we don't because we get into life and, you know, the cares of this life, they, you know, they just take things from us.
Sure.
But when you are heavy, when you are being oppressed, when your praise is leaving you, then you need to discern why is it happening.
Right.
Because if we just discern in our life, hey, I have a spirit of praise. You know what? I'm to be a person of praise, of rejoicing, of encouraging. Hallelujah. I need to be declaring what God is doing in my life. I need to be declaring to others, testifying, telling them. But when those things start going, Kylan, we need to say, wait a second. Wait a second.
Yep.
This is not supposed to be happening.
Right.
So if I don't have the spirit of praise, what now am I doing? You're being stripped.
Right.
It's either by daily busyness, the oppression, vexations of life. You know, when Solomon writes Ecclesiastes, he looks at everything and he says, all of this is vexation of spirit. And so sometimes we can get involved in life. Everything kind of be going good, but guess what? It's oppressing our praise life, a celebration. And so what happens is we can discern by those fruits that, you know what, this is not God.
Right.
And if we're losing our praise because of a problem that's going in life, then I want to encourage you, reestablish the garment.
Right.
Because now you're stepping into the place of your identity.
Sure.
But so we don't want that to go. But here, Jesus tells us that he gives us for the spirit of heaviness, he gives us a spirit of praise. Mm-hmm. So we understand that there can be a transference of spirits. And, you know, a lot of Christians probably don't even know they have a garment of praise.
Right.
They've still been as depressed from the day they got saved till now. They think, where is the joy?
Yeah.
And
these things don't happen. And often they don't realize it. They don't see it happening. It's just slow. And all of a sudden, before they know it, they're in a place that if they thought about it, they go, man, how did I get here?
There you go.
You know, it just kind of slides slowly into these positions. Yeah.
And sometimes it's not intentional. It's just that we have not discerned or we have not looked at, we have not judged, and there is discernment in judgment. And so we haven't said, wow, I used to be like that 6 months ago, and now I'm like this. What in the world happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get a hold of yourself.
Right.
Because something else is trying to get a hold of you.
You're right.
So we need to get in that. Let's go, Kylan, to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And this is, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and what's happened is he's told them the day of the Lord is coming, but then what did they see? They started seeing people die.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my word, they said, people are dying. Paul, what about? He said, no. Look, chill out. The day of the Lord is upon us, but understand that people are going to die.
Yeah.
So he explains the death and what happens to those that are born again, and what happens to those that are not.
Right.
And there's a reason that he explains that, and it's really found in verse 13. Go ahead and read that, Kylan.
All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have any of you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so that them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be with the Lord, be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
That word comfort means draw people back to their original faith. But one thing I want to bring out, and then we'll go into verse 13, is that in order even to see Jesus when he comes will be the operation of discerning of spirits.
Okay.
Because the world will not see him then.
Mm-hmm.
Though everybody, Christians from all around the world, clear down on this end, when we're on this end, they will see him.
Mm-hmm.
But unbelievers won't.
Right.
They will see him when he comes back the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Then he comes back in visible form.
Yeah.
So the whole world sees him. But when he comes back for the church, only the church and the remnant, those that have kept their vessels filled with oil, mm-hmm. their candle wick, their wicks trimmed, mm-hmm. only those people will see him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the light that is in them that is burning bright, leading their life, guiding their life, being spurred of the Holy Ghost and of the Word. Only those people will be able to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will be an operation of the discerning of spirits.
Okay.
And in verse 13, it says, but I would have you not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So there can be ignorance. And if we don't understand it and discern what death really is, mm-hmm. that it's not the end. We're not like people to have no hope,
mm-hmm.
but we are Christians. We understand that they're not in that grave. They are with Christ.
Right.
And he says that you sorrow not even as a world which has no hope. So there is a spirit of sorrow that can come upon people
mm-hmm.
that enters through different ways. In Proverbs, Kylan, if you'll go to Proverbs and let's look at Proverbs 15:13.
Proverbs 16:13.
Yeah, 15:13.
15?
Yeah, 15.
All right. 15:13. And it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken.
Wow. Now, do we see the danger in not just grieving,
mm-hmm.
but being overcome with a spirit,
right?
A spirit of sorrow.
Right.
It didn't say that this affects our physical body or soul. It's directed to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is sorrow directed to the spirit? Because when we break a human spirit, it's like breaking a cistern, a glass, a cup. It can't hold anything.
Right.
And so when Paul says the spirit of sorrow, which have no hope, if we sorrow like the world, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We get broken. Faith can come in, but it never holds.
Right.
Hope can come in, but mm-hmm. it never stays.
Yeah.
And so our human spirit can be broken. And notice in 15 and verse 13, it says, "There a merry heart maketh cheerful a countenance."
Mm-hmm.
But, so as Jesus brought for a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of praise,
mm-hmm.
now death, misunderstanding of spiritual things,
mm-hmm.
in just wrapping it all together, can bring sorrow and do what? Break the celebration of redemption,
right.
and the affirming of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So if we allow sorrow to get in, Kylan, it will change our countenance,
right.
our identity, our place in the world, our light,
right.
our saltiness. All of this can be changed
mm-hmm.
where we are to have a celebrative spirit.
Right,
right back to Isaiah mm-hmm. 61. And I cannot emphasize this enough. There are too many Christians, you know, everybody meets them. Hey, how's it going? Well, you know, we're doing What is that? That is probably the result of some place that hope has been deferred. Mm-hmm. The spirit has been made sick, afflicted, broken, or sorrow because of something not happening has entered in. Yeah. And you know what? Their garment has been laid aside.
People make the mistake of putting their hope in certain outcomes of life.
Yes.
Instead of their hope ultimately in the return of Jesus, the resurrection of dead, and all things being made new.
Right.
That's our great hope. And it's not to say that we can't have hope in certain things in life, but we can't ultimately put our hope in things that are broken.
Right. Because, Kylan, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 11th chapter, look, you don't know what is going to happen. Evil may attack you one place, but it may attack you no places.
Yeah.
But you don't know. Mm-hmm. But what you want to do is set up a life of continuance walking in faith with God.
Right.
And so, yes, we use our faith. But remember what faith is for. Faith is not just some economical exchange.
Right.
God, I give you my faith for a new car. God, I give you my faith for victory. I give you my... Now, faith is given to us to live by. But that means that we live a life that is acceptable by God.
Right.
Not a life of just get and have. Don't get me wrong. I believe in blessing. I believe in prosperity. I believe in having an abundance. But if it never happened, I'm still living by faith. Right. I'm going to live as if every scripture here has come from God, and I'm going to surrender myself to do what it says to do instead of doing what the world gives me an opportunity to do.
Right.
So that is faith. Mm-hmm. And so I will use my faith in giving. Mm-hmm. God, you know, I give, praise God. I thank you, Father, every day that you have multiplied my seed, that God, you have given me a harvest. I praise you, God. You are faithful. You never fail me. But if next week comes up and, hey, we're repossessing your house. Oh, man, I'm not going to say, oh, man, it didn't work. No, I'm going to say, God, I want to thank you. I've sown a seed. You multiplied that seed sown. You are faithful. You're my shepherd. I do not want. Mm-hmm. God, the lions hunger, but God, the righteous are not forsaken. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, Father, that you're with me. See, that's faith, Kylan.
Right.
Faith is not just for the good times of life. Mm-hmm. Faith even celebrates in what we think is the bad time of life, because that may have come because of your faith, and it may be attacking you to cause your faith to fail. Hold true, because in the end, God doesn't fail us.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you see it today or if you don't see it today, but you will see it, and it will be given to your house. Mm-hmm. I had a man ask Phyllis the other day. He is a I don't know if he's saved or not. Let's say that. But he is the seed of the righteous. Now, things happened, and a guy, you know, crossed the street that he'd had very little contact with, but he went over and sat with him. Ended up, the man didn't have any family and left him several million dollars.
Oh, wow.
Then something happened, and he got several million dollars from a accident. And then he got an idea for a wrench, and the patent has just been approved. So, and he called, and he asked the question, why am I so blessed? Now, presuming he knows he's not going to church, he's probably not living up to what he knows, but he's the seed of the righteous.
Okay.
His mom and dad were tithers most of their life. And so here he is, but God didn't bless his mother and father. Well, his mother and father, I knew them. They never hungered. They never had lack. They always lived comfortably. Mm-hmm. But now the life of the tither is showing up in a child's life that may not be living totally what we would call hallelujah sanctified Christian. But why am I blessed? Because God said he would bless the seed of the righteous.
Right.
And so you have that in motion, and all these things are happening. Praise God, you think, but man, oh man, but those people didn't see. But faith doesn't just live for one generation, Kylan. Mm-hmm. It lives for perpetual generations. Mm-hmm. So this man, hopefully, I'm believing God, will see this is because of the faithfulness of my mother and father to a faithful God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it is important that we keep a cheerful spirit, Kylan, and that we keep in faith so that we don't become overcome with sorrow and so forth like that. Even the devil will attack people. He'll take children's lives. He's merciless. He'll take children's lives. Now, there's no sense in starting a new doctrine. God needed a new angel. No. God made plenty of angels. He's not manufacturing them. He's not creating any new. He's got enough. Mm-hmm. And people don't become angels, praise God. We are still transformed human beings with a new body, and we are eternal. But God wanted us human beings. He didn't want us angels.
Exactly.
And so children don't become angels. Even though that might give us a little comfort, it's a false comfort.
Right.
And so what we need to do, we realize that David, when he fasted for his son that had been stricken, Bathsheba had been impregnated before she was David's wife, the son dies. David fasts. He uses faith for the child to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't get healed. So David then turns from sorrow that seeks to captivate him, break his relationship with God, steal his countenance, his identity. He turns it and says, praise God, the good thing is he can't come to me, but I can go to him.
Right.
In other words, death is not final.
Right.
Praise God, children are still children. David says, he's my son.
Yeah.
I'm his father. I will go to him. Yeah. We will be united. We will live eternally because God's bigger than death.
Yeah.
And so if we keep that, death, even in all of its attempts to sorrow us, we can be cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we will grieve, certainly. My word.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, we go through times of judging, but we can't let those times of grieving turn into sorrow.
Right.
If they do,
right,
they will break
the
human spirit.
Right.
And I tell you what, you get a broken spirit, buddy, unless God just intervenes and you seek God or something happens, you have an experience of God healing and restoring you, you may not be able to get yourself out of that place of brokenness.
Yeah, you have sorrow moving in for whatever the situation is. You know, that discerning of spirit will jump in and let you know that. You start to see it. That's the biggest time your praise and your worship comes out. You begin to praise and worship beyond your situation, beyond your understanding, holding on to what you have hope in.
Yes.
You know, that's what it's all about. It's keeping hope.
Yeah. And realize, Kylan, that we as Christians, you know, we are not exempt from life.
Right.
We are redeemed by God to live life, to go through it, and bring out victories out of what other people may term complete failures.
Right.
That word sorrow is a real unique word. It means pain. It means to hurt. It means to injure. It means to wound. It means to vex somebody.
Yeah.
So when we have sorrow through death or through some other failure or loss or something of that kind, what he's doing is he's wounding us.
Right.
He's causing pain, hurt. He's causing vexation.
Mm-hmm.
He's causing an injury. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is he's crippling us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's looking just like, remember, like a lion going about. What does a lion, when I was in Africa on safari with the kids and the family and some people from the church, we saw where a lion or something had tried to kill a gazelle or whatever, and he got away. So the guide said, in the morning, he will no longer be here because he'd been injured. So now what happens? Now that lion is circling. He knows where he is. Mm. He's watching. Oh, you slipped away, but don't worry, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And this thing right there, that sorrow opens the door for that lion now to have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to take him.
Right.
And he's going to be the center focus of the family gathering that night. And they're going to eat him. And they're going to take him down. Go to a Proverbs 17:22, Kylie, and we'll kind of wrap up with this scripture.
All right. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." All the way down to every part of your being, it gets you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what does it do? It replaces that spirit of praise, that spirit that is born out of faith, that spirit that looks beyond the moment here and says, this is what the Lord hath said. Everything else is temporal. God is unchangeable. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm thinking, no matter how it happened, no matter how tragic it was, God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this person is, and I will rejoice. I won't let sorrow come in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay merry because it does me good.
Right.
But if sorrow comes in, guess what? It'll rot the very existence of all that I do and all that I am.
Right.
And that is a spirit, Kylan, that is seeking to replace the nature, the identity of the believer, those that have hope, that not like the world, our hope is in God.
Right.
And when God said it, we look towards that and we rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't let this spirit of oppression come back up on us. And we don't let the spirit of sorrow come in because it's going to injure us, wound us. And it's like a disease. You know, there are colds, cancers. But when cancer reaches the bone, they say, you got it in your bones.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is, there is no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that bone, the blood system is made.
Right.
Now everything's going to be tainted. But if we turn that around with a rejoicing heart, it can reverse that.
Right.
And bring wholeness and soundness right back to us.
Right. And peace that passes all understanding comes hand in hand.
Whew. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
One more, Kylan, and let's then we're going to close up. Proverbs 15:4. We'll wrap this part of it up so that next week we'll get into something new and along the discerning of spirits.
What, and 15 or 16?
Proverbs 15:4.
15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit.
Oh, a breach, a brokenness, an injury, a wound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what gets perverted when that happens? The tongue.
Right.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, we always see, you know, hey, how's things going? Oh, man, I tell you what. I just, you know, everything. What is that? That's perverseness in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That's sorrow. Someplace they've had a failure. Someplace sorrow has come in. And now what's happened, it's got into the very marrow of their bone.
Right.
And it's been replaced. Remember that the word, when it has rain in our life, is life to the marrow of our bone.
Right.
So now, what has happened? Their tongue has been infected by that which has touched the core of their bone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, negativity, faithlessness, disgruntledness, murmuring, criticism, death, accusations all come up. Why? Because this breach has happened in their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I'm telling you, this spirit of sorrow, when we are not able to discern these, Kylan, they get in us.
Yeah.
And Paul was writing so that the church could understand it, but We also, as believers, are equipped to do the work of the ministry. One of the works of the ministry is to bear the burdens of others, to pray that they may be healed, to uplift the downcast, to recover the lost sheep, and the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have the discerning of spirits, we may not recognize it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it will creep in, and we're right in the midst of our friends that it's creeping in on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't see that, Kylan, we're not aware of it. If we have not been pursuing the gifts and God's not using us, we're not open to them, I'm telling you, people around us can really get imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this may be a part of the, what I want to call it, what do they call when disease is going everywhere? It's an outbreak. Academic?
The word's right there. But it's an outbreak.
It's an outbreak.
Yeah.
I think that this is the outbreak of the depression of the human mind.
Mm.
People unable to see cheerfully the end from where they are.
Right.
And I think that that's where depression comes in to the human spirit.
Yeah.
Maybe sorrow from the way they were raised. Maybe sorrow from rejection. Maybe sorrow from respect to persons. Maybe sorrow from, you know, neglect. Whatever abuse, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But that thing gets in them, Kylan.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may have been abused as a child. You know, I don't know by who or how many times, but the joy of it is this, that God will restore everything that's been taken from you.
Yeah.
And that God gave you a new birth, that you're not that person back then.
Yeah.
And that, you know, yes, you have been wounded, but that God has a new beginning for you.
Yes.
And in his eyes, you're a new creature. And you can live life by faith in that new birth. And you can break that.
Mm-hmm.
Over your children, and they can live a happy, successful life. You can trust again, you can love again, you can believe again. And so that's where you need to celebrate.
Yes.
Celebrate. Praise God that the prison door has been broken. Praise God I'm not there anymore. Praise God I'm not under that bondage. Thank God that he has redeemed me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to be grateful for. But being sorrowful and depressed by your past and what's happened to you will never do you any good.
Right.
It will rotten you to the core.
Mm-hmm.
So, please, let's just begin to be open to this and let God, Kylan, use us to restore people, help people discern. Is it normal? My father's been dead 6 months. I'm still grieving for him. That's not normal. You know, my wife, my child, 6 months later, you're still what you call grieving, getting over it. Nah, a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are standards in the Bible that says, you know, for a month, they grieved.
Mm-hmm.
Anything beyond a month must be discerned as not common nor acceptable to the Lord, because he is the one that designed the effect of what death would have on an individual. 30 days is enough to grieve, to honor, to remember, bestow memories upon. Then we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we forget. We still memory.
Yeah.
We still have memories. We still talk about. But we move on. Sure. We don't stay in that place of grief. Because now it's not grief, it's sorrow at work.
Yeah, yeah. God is making all things new, and we're in on it. We're a part of it, in us and through us for other people.
Yes.
And ultimately report, again, what we said earlier, where our ultimate hope is when the resurrection and all things are finally made new. We put our hope in these things, but underlying question all of us, how much do we really believe that that's happening.
Right, absolutely.
And that's where we put our hope. I really believe that God is making me new. I really believe in the life to
come.
And I put my hope there. And it puts everything in the perspective of what you're talking about, the grieving for the loss. But perspective is okay. But things are being made new.
Right.
My grieving now will be ultimate great joy later because I'm going to meet him again. We're going to be together again.
You bet.
So the things we experience like grieving, it ultimately sets us up for the joy, satisfaction, the reward of what God is doing.
There you go. The reward, a labor is worthy of his hire. You labor and you work. Stay in faith. Stay committed to God. And we will see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, death doesn't win. Just laugh at it. It doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. And so stay the course. And let's just not let sorrow creep in under. Remember, the devil can become an angel of light. He can look like grief.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's given the time
over
that which is natural or normal, it is not God. It's not grief. It's sorrow that's at work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose the discerning of spirits. I loose this gift, God, to be awakened. God, to be recognizable. Mm-hmm. I loose the discerning of spirits that, God, people will become aware. Their minds will be sharp. Their eyes will be open. Their emotions, God, even their feelings towards other people will be open, God, to be able to discern what people are going through, that they'll be able to help people. And through the discerning of spirits, God, stop the work of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God, I loose the discerning of spirits upon these people's lives. Activate it, God. Let them move in it and let them work the work of the ministry for those that are deeply in need of freedom through Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, we'll see you Tuesday at 9:00. God bless.